Welcome, listeners, to the finale of Fictional Heroism. The Dad Squad had done research at their library and had come to the conclusion this is not quite a ghost, but they're facing the essence of Thomas Boyd. As they prepared to leave, Marcus tried to heal and is now a rabbit. Oh my. We will be announcing the winners of the dice giveaway in the middle of July. Apologies for the delay on this. It's just been a rough month and we're trying to get everything prepared. Our promo for this month is Microphones and Monsters, a 5e Cthulhu Mythos game, which is a lot of fun. It has a cat for a warlock and the nicest ghoul you'll ever meet. If you've been listening to our Gesselheim one-shots, you've actually heard the DM play as the character Lux in the Snow Gloom arc.
Microphones and Monsters is a Cthulhu D&D actual play with a balance of horror, mystery, and comedy. Our story begins in a 1920s Magitek noir setting. We follow the story of Alistair.
That power is very much something that I need, and I don't want that to stop.
Victor.
I don't think I want to help you.
And Julian.
It's burning. What happened here can't see the light of day.
As they come face to face with eldritch horrors.
I don't think you could ever stop me.
And try not to fall into madness. Go to microphonesandmonsters.com or listen wherever podcasts are found.
And now, on to the show.
Well, at least we're insured success now.
Okay,
Because we have two rabbit's feet on our side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I can't go. I mean, I can't investigate like this.
Sure, you can. We'll put you in a coat, put on a hat, you'll be fine. It worked in that one movie.
No.
Yeah.
No, I cannot. No, I cannot actually. No, I cannot actually be of use as a.
Yes, you can. You can kick things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh huh. And.
I took to Pote Roger Rabbit. She's got to give him a drink.
Oh, no.
Can I? We're still there. So can I, like, could I get him to, like, you see this rabbit?
Give me a little help.
Like, can I, if he can he speak or is he now mute because he's a rabbit now?
No. You're basically Bugs Bunny, but Marcus.
Ah, okay.
It's not like you're useless. You're not like an actual rabbit. You're just like a
No, cartoonish.
It's like if you were on the Looney Tunes. If Marcus on the Looney Tunes.
You're an anthropomorphic rabbit.
Yeah, okay. But I think he very much wants... I get it. But I think he would also very much want to get this fixed before they go anywhere.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, I think he's just going to look up, markedly up more towards Troy. And he just raises his
paw,
rabbit paws, and goes, "Get it over with."
I mean, true, things are already hairy enough.
Oh no!
Oh my! I don't like that. Does it get even worse?
So I wrote to use magic to heal just to see. I rolled a 4.
Does anyone want to maybe help him, or else I'm going to turn into a rat or something? This is not helping.
Well, at a 4, I can't do a help out, but...
Can we, though?
I cannot.
Oh, man.
Can we actually help him out?
Well, I mean, if you can think of a way that they would be able to help him out, I have a solution, sort of.
Sort of.
Sort of. Sort of. Okay.
I think Troy gets a moment and he looks at John and Cal and goes, grab his legs.
Sure. Zoink!
Okay.
And he moves over to Marcus. So the help out is the best. I think he's going to try to, this is cartoon physics.
Yes, it is.
So you guys can roll help out.
I mean, falling anvils and everything. I get it.
Help out using, and I would say you roll help out using tough as you try to help stretch.
Stretch me back to normal.
First of all, I'm going to keep it cool as in default because I have a 2 of cool and a -1 for tough.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I get 10 because I have power of heart. I don't need to roll.
Ah! Oh, sweet. Okay.
John got a failure.
Oh, my.
That's an experience, literally.
Yeah, I think he's just trying not to like teeth are clenched and you're hearing the classic sound of this stretch.
I think with the help out, but the mixed help out because you have the help out from Kyle and then the failure from John. You guys managed to at least at the moment. Marcus is back to his normal height.
Okay. But I'm still a rabbit.
Mm-hmm. You're still a cartoon for the moment.
Still fluffy.
It's you're still you with all your powers and everything. You just look like a cartoon rabbit.
Okay. I mean, hey, if my physical body now follows cartoon physics, that could be terribly useful, actually, because
it could.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Space Jam.
I mean, okay. I mean, yeah. And I'm talking about the real Space Jam, not that.
There's only one Space Jam movie. There's only one Space Jam movie. Happening. Just like there's only one Transformers film.
I know. I know there is. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. And there is a film which shall not be named because it never happened because it was made by a director that doesn't know how to do adaptations. Let's move on.
I do genuinely give you my trench coat, though.
All right. Okay. Yep. He's like.
And I think Troy just kind of looks at Marcus. I do more, but then it has a chance of becoming permanent.
No, thank you.
That's why no one's allowed in the basement.
No, thank you.
The mortician is very touchy.
That's more things done.
I think his rabbit eyes go huge. Might even pop out of his head. Pop.
Nice.
With the. Like, what's in the basement? Ah.
We're going to put that on the list of things to unpack later.
I think he's just going to wear the coat and move on for now because they're on a time frame.
Much like we are, unfortunately.
And I'm a rabbit. Okay. Yeah.
You know, Marcus, I hope you don't get hungry anytime soon. All the library has is cereal.
I would hope that not all rabbits follow the logic of, well, certain one I could mention.
Hmm. Oh boy, here we go. Now, how much of our speculation is going to be true is my question.
Well, I mean, I could still fly, I don't think I'm driving. I'm just, you know, flying rabbit. Yep.
That's going to be fun.
In a coat.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess hope nobody's looking or maybe go along with you two. I don't know.
Well, I mean, Even though John is mercilessly punning and joking at your expense, he did offer you the coat in a genuine attempt to help you not attract attention.
Yes, though in this case, I think I might go along with you guys so that I'm not, you know, seen and claimed as a UFO or something.
Okay, so as you guys arrive at the theater, it's pretty grand theater. It's a decent size. It's pretty easy to get in. There's like an entrance. There's many seats. There's a stage up front, and then you can see entrances to the back. But that's not the creepy thing about it. The creepy thing is, as you enter, there are dozens of Muppets children sitting in the stand.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Oh no.
What? Whoa. Oh.
Far more than you've heard were taken. And they're of the quality, you can tell kind of quality, they're kind of quality, similar quality to the one you may have killed.
The shopkeeper. Okay.
Okay.
It's like, and now we know what happened to the missing kids.
Hmm. Yeah.
But there are too many.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell? How long has this been going on?
Apparently much longer than we knew.
Or people just haven't been reporting their kids going missing.
Can I see?
Some of them seem to have school outfit. They seem recent. It looks.
Huh. That's a little off.
Unless they were no longer present to do the reporting.
Ugh. This is getting dark real quick.
Everyone, roll me a sharp. Roll at that thought.
Yeah, I was about to ask, anything that I see that looks like any of them that looks special or something that's a focus in here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the sharp roll. If you get a really good sharp, then, well, one of your party is in for a shot.
11. Ooh.
Okay. I failed.
Cal, you're just kind of looking around and you're kind of creeped out by all this, I think.
I'm distracted by the... I'm also creeped out by the bad insulation job here, and proscenium looks off. There's definitely like some bad handiwork here that's distracting me.
Oh yeah, there's this theater had required a lot of work. You kind of get the feeling that even if he didn't die, he wasn't going to have a good show.
Yeah, the sound walls aren't very good.
People are going to get there's even still that there's that insulation that's bad. They no longer put in walls hanging out of the ceiling. You can see
it's bad electrical work in here.
You can easily see loose boards on the stage. It's like,
yeah,
you could spend a month working on this and not be done.
I can see some water damage, I'm sure too.
Yeah, mine was a 11.
I got a 10. Yeah, even though it says I got a 13 earlier, that was a cool roll. I misread my links. So I got that 10 sharp roll.
All right, so as you guys are looking into the theater, something catches Marcus's and John's eyes. And I think it hits John first, but he's like, I think it kind of hits him for one, and he's like, no. But you see a young boy sitting at the very front of the theater in one of the front rows.
Oh, no.
He looks very familiar, and that...
It's the boy that went missing.
Eric, what color are John's hair? It is, and what color is John's hair?
John's hair? Not his eyes?
Yes, and his eyes, but you, well, he's looking away from you. You wouldn't be able to see his eyes.
Okay. Blonde hair, actually.
It's a blonde-haired young boy.
And I know this child because this is the child that we got called in because he went missing. His mother's my old friend, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, you guys were old friends. You may have had a few times of relation.
We had some stakeouts together, is what you're saying.
Ah, is that what we're calling it now?
Yes. And then I think you're like, no. And then you're thinking back to when you were at the thing. There's something that Troy said to you that didn't click the first time. You're taking this very well.
That son of a bitch knew.
John, your son is sitting in puppet form at the front of the theater.
Oh my... Whoa,
the son then. I never knew I had until now, that Troy somehow knew before me. If somebody's not dead, they're gonna be.
Oh boy. Oof.
And I think with the failure of the sharp roll, Kyle, you're looking around, you start to walk forward, and you... There's just a cable. Your feet, you're just so distracted by all your installation in the ceiling. Your feet catches on a cable that shakes some cans.
Oh no.
And the sound starts to echo around the room.
Oh.
As well as the sound of cloth on cloth. As the Muppets start to turn to look in your direction. What do you do now?
You mean the children? Or...
The children? And I would also say with that high roll, You do notice, yeah, you were actually on the nose. Some of the Muppets are actually adults as well.
Okay.
And does Marcus see anything else of note since he got the high roll?
That's true. You described for me, but you missed on Marcus.
Oh, I think Marcus, you as you're looking, I think you notice this thing, but then something catches your eye up on the stage, and there's a door.
What is on the stage?
On the stage is a life-size puppet standing with a cane.
Uh-huh.
Long locks of yarn, and then says they're looking down, and as the noise starts to echo around the room, they start to look up, and you see the Muppet face of Thomas Boyd grinning evilly at you.
Okay, can he roll and investigate a mystery? Because he's going over the research that we did, and he's thinking that it has to be tied to some object, some ritualistic kind of object. He's guessing it's that cane, but he doesn't know. So,
yeah, you can roll and investigate a mystery.
Can I roll to see if I can pick out? Because this object would not be far from him, for sure. So,
where are...
Let me roll to see if I can identify.
And while you do that, I'm going to ask, where are we in comparison to where he is on stage? Because I want to know what's in between us, because I would like to roll either act under pressure or kick some ass, depending.
Well, I would say that you guys, as you're walking, you notice this. You've made it about halfway down the stairs to the for all the piers and stuff, all the seats for the auditorium.
Okay.
Can I? I noticed Wesley rolled a 9 there. Can I try to do a power of heart help out to bring him up to a 10?
Yeah.
Is there a way I can help?
Well, Thomas Boyd is focused on your group. Is there anything you can think of to say to him to focus his attention away from Marcus?
Or distract or something.
Or distract, yeah.
Because that would be useful for me, too.
Well,
you have a gun. You have a gun.
I do have a gun.
That's why I asked what was in between us and him.
I also have a multi-tool.
I will also say, one thing you guys would notice when you notice him, he is much more bulky. He's almost like it's weird. It's him in his prime, if he ever had a prime, and he's not. It feels like a boss battle.
He's not weak. He's not frail.
It's going to take a few hits, basically.
Can I? Yeah.
Okay.
Can I yell out, are we too late for the show? As my way of distracting.
Oh.
It'll also play to his ego, possibly.
To give the help out.
Vanity, yes. Good luck.
Yeah, I would take that. Oh, you're just on time.
So that will convert Wesley's roll to a 10.
Yeah.
I have a 10, so am I able to pick out anything either on his person or around his immediate vicinity that could be considered the object?
It sounds like you might be asking what is being concealed here, I take it?
I'm sorry, yes, the actual mechanical question, yes. What is being concealed, as in specifically the object?
Your eyes locked down on the cane for a moment, but you think about it, and your records never showed him having a cane.
Okay.
And it just seems so elaborate that your first focus is on it, and you're like, no, this is if this guy is smart enough to make these things as realistic, even if he's like, it's not quite him, that's too obvious. That's the thing that they would always lock into as, you know, like a cartoon, that would be the obvious thing, and they go for it and it wouldn't be there.
Okay.
And you're also kind of thinking on cartoon logic here, from, you're like, look, I'm a rabbit. That's not gonna be the obvious thing. And you remember something. The reason why this theater was where it was going to be, the coming back was supposed to be Luke. There are two awards that Thomas Boyd had that were minted, and they have a place in the back.
Uh-huh.
As in behind the stage.
Behind the stage, it's in one of the rooms in the back. one of probably his original dressing room, so you're not quite sure which. There, I would say there's well, there's three rooms it could be in, but you're not quite sure which one it is, but you know you have to get on and past the stage to deal with them.
You can fly. Can you not also go intangible or invisible or something, or am I misremembering?
I can. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can go incorporeal to pass through solid objects that are not living.
There you go.
There you go.
So yeah, I think very suddenly he might turn to the other two and just say, "You hold him here, I've got an idea."
Go.
And he's gonna bolt.
Alright. So I'm going to, in reaction to that, I will use my move What Could Go Wrong, which is you charge into danger, which is basically just doing what he said, you know, hold things off here, which is charging into danger, hedging your bets.
And I'm thinking, let's see, battlefield awareness would be useful. Tactical genius also good. Precise strike from the expert. So,
is this long coat flapping overhead as I fly straight toward them?
Yep.
I'm Batman. No. No, I'm...
My thing isn't rural, so you can just let me know if there's an opportunity that makes sense for me.
I'm a poor Batman impersonator.
Okay, I think Chow, you kind of rush the stage, and Thomas Boyd's face, his smile gets wider and wider as his form takes on this feral, vampiric-looking creature, as he just kind of sets you off a little, Marcus, because you see his mouth open as he releases this loud subsonic wail.
Whoa!
As Kyle takes one point of damage as it tears up the stage and part of the floor and throws up some of the seats and Muppets up front.
So, was that me? Sorry, I didn't hear the name.
Yeah.
Okay, so my move lets me reduce someone's harm suffered by one. So I'll just use my move to not take harm on that.
Yeah, that's good, because my tactical genius and the fact that I have a flak vest means I have two armor, so I'm good.
Yep. Okay, so I've used that up for this round.
Okay, I'm just... Okay, so he's a tulpa that can scream. He is not something else that would be more pertinent to my story, is he? Because that's what that sounds like. I'm just curious. I don't know.
It's definitely not. It's not a banshee scream. It's more like a ghostly wail.
Just like a vibration. Yeah, I got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Force attack, basically.
Yeah, I think it just bothers Marcus because it's like, you're ripping me off, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
You're already pissed off at this guy. Now he's ripping off your infringement. Shit.
Yeah. I think if he had the time, he would give him a piece of his mind, but he realizes that they are running against the clock, so he attempts to bolt straight by and get to the back rooms while the other two hold him.
Ooh, okay. Can I get an act under pressure, Marcus?
Can I manipulate someone?
Huh?
Technically a monster.
The idea is to try and keep his keep the attention off of Marcus in this case.
I almost think it'd be an act under pressure.
I'll do that too.
Yeah.
Or how? Oh no, I guess a help out. Well, depend.
Well, I kind of did that already, though, didn't I?
You did.
As my move. Yeah, that was intended to give Marcus cover.
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
To do his move.
Well, in that case, let me just kick some ass.
So,
that is a mixed success, a 9.
Okay, I think I'm going to give you the hard choice is you can make it back there without problem, but it's going to attract some of the Muppets in the stadium to follow. Or a price to pay is, I think, with everything going on, and you're, like you said, you're angry at this guy. It's your monster size just wants to hurt him. You can make it back there and not attract attention, but you're going to take one harm because you basically try to poltergeist this guy and you rush him.
Okay.
So passing through him is what gives you the one harm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take the single harm to avoid attract attention. And yeah, I think he's combination really upset about previous events and upset more on brand because he's just like, that's my stick and you're stealing it. So so he just bolts straight through, and of course, you know, he takes the hurt, but I like to think Mr. Puppet just feels like this, you know, this icy chill settle on him for a few seconds, and then he's gone.
All right. Yeah, you guys see this waspy rabbit start down and just charge.
Yep.
I kind of see on Boyd's face, his eyes kind of go wide, and he's like, what the fuck? And he's patting himself down after this happens.
Oh, poltergeist
and
rabbit.
The fun thing about this, I've seen an added effect. You now know this is definitely not a person. He's not categorized as a person because you went through him.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, if he was actually living, I would not be able to do so. So, yep. Great.
This is just a puppet animated by whatever's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Yep, I head straight to the back, and I don't want to take another turn if I think someone else should have a chance to go, but I know what I'm doing next.
I think it's Eric's turn on that one.
I would like to kick some ass.
All right. Anyway, I was sitting on that reveal since the very beginning, once you guys decided to call it the Dad Squad.
that's good.
That works.
Okay, so...
I was playing your contact as I was trying to do my best impression of an ex talking to an ex.
I never picked up on that. I never picked up on that.
Yeah, that's why she said you look good.
Oh no. So, can I power of heart to help him out on the kick some ass, give it a distraction?
Yeah.
I know I have to give some kind of narrative distraction, so I'll need to know what is Eric trying to do here, or what is John trying to do here.
He's gonna just shoot the guy. I mean, you know, the time for talk is over.
All right.
He's got a son that he didn't know he had in mortal danger, if not immortal danger, and this dude just grinned like he's some creepy Saturday morning villain. I'm gonna shoot him repeatedly if I can.
All right, so I'll pull out my handgun as well and put out some cover fire, maybe.
Okay.
So that you can.
All right.
You can hit him as my power of heart. That brings you to a 7.
Yeah. Okay. Now I would like to use precise strike since I am inflicting harm, because it says when you inflict harm on a monster, which tells me this was a if then sort of thing.
But I would say. A narrative, what do you do is you start to, as the whales, you actually kind of see parts of the floor come up, and you actually see zombie Muppets like the one Marcus saw crawling their way out of the floor in front of them.
Oh, God.
Uh-huh. Here's a weird thing about it, I would say. They're not heading for you.
Oh?
They're heading for the Muppets.
In the seats. Okay.
The seats. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, we have to protect the innocents, as we should. All right, so I have to roll plus tough again.
Yeah. And I think Cal sees this, and he starts firing the cover fire at them, which...
Yeah, gives you the chance to get your harm in.
Okay. So, just for the love of God, mixed success.
Oh, do you have to roll precise strike, too?
Yeah. I mean, I thought, you know, I have to roll something to do harm, and then since I am doing harm, then I get to roll precise strike.
Yep. I'm tempted every time you get like a 9 or something like that to go, I'm going to power of heart again, but I don't want to cheese it too much, so.
It's meant to be cheese.
Well, you know what? On a 7 to 9, I get to inflict 1 plus harm, so...
Yeah. Nice.
That is... Oh, you know what? I could be really mean, but since I didn't say it beforehand, I'm not going to pull out my sniper rifle.
No, you never said which weapon you pulled out at all.
True. True.
Well, that's true.
And, you know, being that, hey, this is a large thing and I need precise. So, yeah, sniper rifle. I'm doing 5 harm to him now.
Yeah.
Because precise shot.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Well, see, a sniper rifle does 4 harm. And with my roll on precise shot, that's +1.
Yep. Yeah, and then adding
precise strike. Yep.
Then I added 1. Yep.
It's good.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I'm giving cover fire. That makes perfect sense.
Blow his eye out or something.
To give you the chance to actually aim.
Yeah, that actually works really good.
How much damage was that again?
5.
5.
Okay, so you're doing cover fire. You just see John just focused and just whips out a sniper rifle and takes aim and shoots for part of the... Actually, I feel like you shoot out one of his eyes.
Nice.
But the bullet passes through, and he takes a decent amount of damage, but then you remember the larger ones also seem to have...
More durability.
Durability.
Yeah.
It's hurting, but it's still up.
Okay, I'm going to shoot again.
Okay. Am I still able to continue? What could go wrong, or do I need to do kick some ass after the first?
I would say do kick some ass.
Okay, all right. I'm going to do that. With tough, and go. Hey, a 10.
Whoa, nice.
Nice.
Success. All right, what are my options on that again? It's just basically 7 plus, you get whatever. Fighting. Inflict harm on each other. All right, and I just got a simple handgun on that. But 10 plus, choose an extra effect. So,
If you can do, you know, grievous harm.
I think I'm going to give +1 forward.
Oh.
To John.
Oh, okay.
With the extra effect, because mundane, you know, I'm all about support, so.
That's true.
Let's toss that over.
So, should I roll kick some ass again, or just precise strike?
It would be kick some ass.
So I did whatever damage is with the small handgun. And.
Okay, so, Kyle, as you do this... This large, fluffy, vampire-looking thing rushes you, and you fire into it.
That is one sentence I never thought I would hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
How much damage does your handgun do?
2.
Okay, so here, well, I'm gonna use this stuff to up to stakes because it rushes in. The mouth is open. And you're tearing into it, and. He bites down into you for 3 harm.
Oh,
okay.
As he kind of like it's because his mouth is like wide, it's like.
And I'm unstable with
that. But that isn't the worst part. As he's doing this, some of his wounds start to heal, and you start to go pale as it drains some of the life out of you.
Oh dear.
Oh.
All right.
Got life drained.
Whatever you're doing, John, do it quick. And I guess whatever Marcus is doing too quick.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I'd love to get back to me at some point to see what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Oh, yeah. We should do Marcus, I think, because you got 2 things to this. You know there's 2 awards back here. I want to.
Yes, and 3 rooms to search. Yeah, I think I just go to the nearest backstage door I find.
All right. I'm going to... roll something that I didn't actually place where they are, so...
Alright.
Okay, the first room is empty as you look around.
Nothing at all. Nothing at all in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Then, so then I'll book it right out of there and go to the next one.
Okay, and we'll come back in. Okay, then that's your turn.
Alright.
I just want to make sure I bounce it. We're bouncing back and forth. This is all happening instantaneously.
Yeah, okay. One room down, 2 to go, happening very quickly. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's +1 forward. You still have to do kick some ass here, but you get the you add a +1 to it.
All right.
+1 forward.
That's good, because kick some ass, actually, that'll help zero out things because of my negative -1 tough. So it'll be a 0.
Ooh. Yeah. Great. Yep.
Do you want to use a luck point, Eric?
Ooh.
In this case, yes.
That's a good.
So I'm going to use my second luck point, which makes it a 12. 13, technically.
The next time John Claymore shows up, he's going to have so much red paint. It may be the mystery.
Oh my god. All right. So then I get to roll tough again because of precise shot.
What is going on? 3?
What the hell?
Whoa.
Random dice generators do not like me.
What?
It is a fact.
All right, Eric, roll it. Just roll the actual physical dice. That's too many failures in roll. I'm not trusting right. that.
Yeah, this thing's acting weird.
I'm gonna make that call just because that's so many in a row. I'm not
all right.
Very strange.
That's so strange, especially since you rolled 2 zeros.
Very, very strange.
Zeros, yeah. Which don't
and
make
that
any sense.
And that was when I was trying to modify it. Yeah. So, do you want me to re-roll my kick some ass as well, and perhaps save me a luck point, or are we gonna let that one pass?
No. We'll let that one pass, but I'm just...
It's all right.
All right. Well, it just seems like a waste of that plus one forward as well. So anyway, so 13, and this is my precise. There we go. That is a 5.
Okay.
So...
Okay. What does precise strike do when you fail?
Precise strike on a... miss, I leave myself open to the monster.
Ooh.
So I get the 4 in from the sniper rifle, but apparently because I'm, you know, trying to mess with the one shot thing and have my eye down, I don't see the monster or a monster sneaking up behind me.
Coming at me.
Yeah. Also, by the way, physical dice don't like me much either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think as you line up this shot, there's cracking below your feet, and a zombie fluff vampire just kind of lunges up and just slashes down your back, slices down at your back.
Zombie fluff vampire.
Yeah.
I'm just marveling at the fact that that is a title for these things now. They are zombie fluff.
A sentence that we can hear, you know? It's one of those, oh my god, this is a sentence I can say.
Yep.
Oh, no, it's, I mean, that's right up there with the zombie Jaws man.
True.
That's.
So that's two damage, but you have armor, so, or.
No damage, because you said it raked across my back, which the flak jacket would cover.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay, so no damage.
And because tactical genius, that, so it's, yeah.
I would say, though, it does manage to knock you down.
That I can buy. Of course, now that I'm prone, that means I'm in perfect sniper position.
Again.
Yeah. So, can I maybe, can I use what could go wrong again? I guess I can't really charge into another. Could I charge into danger to distract? I'm trying to find a way not to use kick some ass because I'm not in a good position for taking another one of those hits. But,
okay.
If there's some way I can at least distract, I guess is what I'm looking for.
Okay, I would say you could try to push it off and run. That would be an act under pressure.
Okay, I guess that would be a distract, an act under pressure. All right. It says if I do, well, I'm not really charging into danger if I'm charging out of danger, so I'm going to not do the plus 2 on act under pressure. I will just take my normal cool, which is not great, I'm sure, and fail horribly. And I'm going to use a luck point. Because I think this, whatever could happen here would be bad.
All right. I would say, so you manage to push it away, and you stumble away, and then your hand locks onto something you feel that's familiar. As a contractor, we make sure I find the, I know there's a, it's on here, so we find the, as you stumble forward and you find a nail gun.
Ooh, nice.
On the floor.
Ka-chunk. Could I maybe In the meantime, could I have searched the next room just to see if I find anything?
Yeah.
Is there anything that I see in searching this room? I like to imagine that in his cartoon state, he does the cartoon bug eyes, but he's still using his, like, you know, roll back showing white and blue, but they're bug eyed, so...
I think they're either bug eyed and they're like flashlights.
Oh yeah, the eyes in the dark thing.
Yeah,
you do find one of the awards.
I do.
It's an award in puppetry work in horror.
Because of course.
So I think what I'm gonna do, I don't know which is which, but it doesn't matter. So I'm just gonna, he's gonna reach out to, this is like on the wall or something, or on a desk or a table.
Yeah. Yeah. It's plaqued on a wall.
Okay. Yeah. I think he's just going to reach out with his rabbit hands, rabbit paws, and he is going to lift it very high over his head and bring it crashing down resoundingly upon the floor.
Yes, yes, yes.
As he does this, you see the Thomas Boyd Muppet puppet vampire thing just kind of warble and scream as it almost like kind of like it almost like it's almost like a video game glitch.
Ooh.
Ooh.
But you see it kind of like warble, cartoonish, kind of like if you fed like a cartoon like some kind of poison, they start freaking out, bubbling out, their body bulging.
Yeah, let's start shifting. I get it. Yeah.
I think John is going to say, he's going to yell out and hope that, you know, Marcus hears is like, that worked. Find the other one. And he's going to take another shot. No, you know what? Screw it. Hey, now we're talking.
I mean, they could be companion objects, meaning gotta break them both.
Mm-hmm.
That's an 11, minus one for tough, so 10.
Okay.
But with precise, that's a 4. So I leave myself open to the monster still on my back, which that makes sense. But that's another 4 damage to the Boyd puppet.
Eric.
You.
How do you want to do this?
Oh.
I want to line up the sight, and as he's screaming and glitching, since you already said I took out his one eye, I want to take out the other side of his face. Just boom.
You see it goes through his eye, screaming as he falls, twitching on the ground. The figures, the zombie Muppets start to slow, and the seated figures in the stand start to warble as well.
Oh boy.
Oh.
It's twitching on the floor. You get the sense that you've stunned it.
Okay. Break the other one!
Ooh.
I don't know if he can hear, but the screaming.
Yeah, I think, like, I don't know if he hears this either, but his plan was to break the other one anyway, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, he's onto that third room.
I mean, I think you could hear from the back, if I remember my like, drama days in high school, but...
Alright. Yeah, the third room?
Well, that, and I think Wesley's character has good ears, from what I recall, too.
Yes, very good ears at this point. He certainly heard that.
Yeah. And so, Marcus, you find the remaining one, and it's bubbling, and here's a messed up thing. It's bubbling and dripping.
Ooh.
Like blood, but it's still intact. It looks like it's trying to heal from whatever they did to the creature.
Yeah, I think he's kind of in a hurry here, and this is my own flavor. You can edit, but I like to think that he is in such a rush when he sees this. He's like, I've got to kill it. He doesn't even reach out to, he doesn't even have to reach out to it. I think... the intention of I need to destroy this, and his front hands are kind of just gesticulating a little bit, and then all of a sudden from just like off on his left hand, there's this black cartoon circle which opens, and then he pulls his hand back, and he is holding, you know, those overlarge mallets from Looney Tunes?
Yes!
Yeah!
Hammer Space!
Yes.
I I think he just pulls this and he's just, he takes all of 5 seconds to look at it. He's like,
okay.
Well, it works. Hey, batter up. I mean, I'm imagining in his head, he's got the baseball music, and he just wails straight into this. And then, you know, it's a home run in his head. It's a home run.
You hear that crack.
Yeah, he smashes it to bits.
Yeah.
They probably hear this on the stage. It like reverberates through the whole theater.
I love it.
Yeah, and you hear a resounding crack, a smash, and Marcus, as you hear it, you crack, it smashes, and I feel like you're out of breath, you're coming in the ground, you just see something seems to be dripping off of you as all this colored ink just kind of drips off of you, and you find yourself reverted back to normal. As if the narrative had said, well done, boy.
Oh. Yeah.
Keep entertaining us.
Nice.
I think he does a very quick, you know,
pat check.
Head, arms, legs. He just takes a deep breath, like, oh, well, pros and cons, I suppose, but not planning to do that again.
Cal's going to be hiding in the back of the audience, behind the chairs.
Yeah, you two in the front, you kind of just see the people start to, the warbling starts, and you start seeing people return to normal as they kind of slump. The stage warps as it becomes, you just see, like, it was in much worse shape. Well, the same thing wasn't affecting the world around it, as the writhing flesh puppet on stage is like, you know, as it's kind of like shrinking into itself, like
the Wicked Witch.
Yeah, like ink being whited off of the page.
Ooh. It's dead, right?
Yeah, it's dead. Like it disappears fully.
Okay. Because I had an idea if not, but I don't want to overdo things.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah.
All right. It's like that Looney Tunes where like Bugs Bunny is the animator, basically. It's being white, literally white.
Painting everything. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's time to call for backup.
Yeah, I think.
Because we have cleanup and civilians to worry about.
Yep.
Yeah.
We've got people that are going to need either serious therapy or memory removal.
No kidding.
Including ourselves.
Unfortunately, Miguel's not around. He can't be a therapist to all these people.
Well, there might be a Miguel.
But yeah, I think...
No. I wouldn't do that to you, Susanna.
Yeah, well... But not the Miguel. Yeah, I think Marcus just walks in from behind the stage and says... Well, what do you know? That worked.
Whatever you did helped. This is over.
Oh, yeah. Very glad this is over. As he's cowering behind one of the chairs.
You can come out. It's dead.
I like haunted houses, but haunted theaters, no more. No more.
Mm.
No more of these. Had enough of those.
Yeah, I think... I don't know who does it, but I think one of them would just pull out a phone and make a call.
I mean, I could do that, but, you know.
Yeah.
I'm part of the hosting group. I don't want to do everything for our guests.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hope you guys had fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hey, there's a reason there's an overabundance of like creepy doll horror movies, doll, puppet, whatever. There's something inherently wrong about it.
The Uncanny Valley.
If you want to help promote us, you can link to us on your social medias or what have you, or just tell a friend. We can be found on Twitter at Dungeons Pop, which also lists a link to our Discord server, the Dungeons and Pop Social Club, and we can also be found on Cast Junkie. Arc to Come Out is the Coffee Crew, and we're hoping to come back to Adventures with Attitude after that. We hope you enjoy. Dungeons & Pop is a tabletop variety show. The campaign you are listening to is a ongoing one-shot reoccurring characters campaign using the Monster of the Week system.